Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday class of Parshas Chayei Sarah. Okay, let's begin. Obviously, I'm sure everyone here is aware that yesterday was a very difficult and tragic day in Eretz Yisrael. It's the Parsha of Chayei Sarah when the Torah goes to great lengths to tell us that Avram purchased the burial, the Kesef Malei, he paid the price. Very difficult. I don't know. The two people who were murdered were Dalia Lemkos and Almog Yisachar Shiloni. May Hashem avenge their bloods. Let me give you the parasha summary. Sarah dies, and she was 25 or 26. I saw two different things, and he was 20 years old. Sarah dies. Let me give you the parasha summary. Sarah dies, and after mourning her loss, Avram Avinu negotiates the purchase price of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah in Hebron as a burial place for his wife Sarah. That is chapter 23. Chapter 24, Parak Chaf Dalet, is looking for the Shirach. Okay, I think it's 67 psukim long. Avram asks his servant Eliezer to return to his homeland to find a wife for Yitzchak. The quest is successful. Eliezer brings Rivka back to Canaan. The shidduch is made. Yitzchak and Rivka marry. Atar Habib is not here, but she did say either last year, 2 years ago, something nice. She said, maybe, you know, it gives chizuk to people that when you're looking for a shidduch, it's going to take sometimes a long time. Like, the Torah could have done this in a shorter amount of psukim. It took so many psukim to tell us the story of the shidduch. Why? Torah could do it everyone, so Tarabib suggested that maybe it's teaching you that, you know, sometimes it takes a longer time, which I thought was very nice. Avram Avinu marries again to Keturah / Hagar. He does, in fact, have more children, even though he is famous for having Yitzchak and Yishmael. He does have other children. What am I hearing?
The phone.
Yes. Oh, okay, fine. That's my home phone?
Yes. Yeah.
Avram Avinu dies and he's buried by his two sons Yitzchak and Yishmael in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Okay, so let's look at the beginning, please, of chapter 23, Parachof Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Yes? Vayu Chai Sarah, and the life of Sarah, the days of Sarah were May Ashana, 100 years of Esim Shana, and 20 years of Sheva Shana, and 70 years. She was 127 when she died. No, leave it open a little, please. Shnei Chai Sarah, the years of Sarah's life. Atama Sarah be Kiryas Arba, he Chevron, and Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron, be Eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan, by Yavo Avram, and Avram came, Lispo the Sarah, to mourn for Sarah, to give a haspid, with a kosa, and to cry for her. Good morning. All right. So, the Baal Turim says, very nice, if you look, the end of the preceding parasha, right to the psukim that come before this, just turn back to 22:20, Chaf Beis Chaf, right before this. Chaf Beis Chaf. Vayi Acharei HaDvarim Eile was after these things. The last thing we had was a Kedus Yitzchak, and it was told to Avram saying, Milcah gave birth to sons for Nachor, your brother. Now remember that Milcah is, we discussed this 2 weeks ago, Milcah is Sarah's sister, Nachor is Avram's brother. They had children. Okay, the children are listed, and one of the children that they had was Besuel. So Besuel is Avram and Sarah's nephew. Besuel, Pasuk of Gimel, Yalad es Rivka. Besuel gave birth to Rivka. These are the children of Milcah that were born to Nachor. Okay? So the Baal Turim points you to that Pasuk, and he says, why does that precede our parasha and our Pasuk of Sarah's demise? And he says, before Sarah's sun set, Rivka's sun rose. And he says, it's very nice, if you look at the words Sarah in our part, in our pasuk, Chav Gimel Aleph, the third, fourth, and fifth words say Sarah Me'ashana. So he says the Rashi Tevos, the Baal Turim very much focuses on Rashi Tevos, the beginning letters, the last letters, the order. He says the Rashi Tevos there are Shemesh. Well, term was a reshowed. My brother once said to me, you know, people don't like matches and don't like chicks like this. He says, you know, if it's someone comes up with it in 2014, okay, fine. The Balterm was a reshowed. As Pierre, she says, was written with a HaKodesh. So he says, here we see an allusion to Shemesh. The Pasuk says in Kohales, Vizarach HaShemesh Uba HaShemesh. The sun rises, the sun sets. But first the sun rises, the new sun rises. In other words, the second matriarch, her son rose, Rivka, before Sarah's son had set. It teaches us that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, before a son sets, before the leadership and the glory of one leader is taken from us, if you will, before the righteous person is gone, Hashem arranges it, so to speak, that the son of a different leader rises first. So the Baal Turim points us and he says, of course it's not by accident that the Torah tells us Rivka was born first. Now, Sarah came to cry for Sarah. Of Shamshon Fal Hirsch beautifully says on this phrase, on Pasuk Beis, Avram withdrew and secluded himself inside his house to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her, says Rav Hirsch. He did not make a public display of grief. We know, he says, what Sarah must have meant to Avram, how deep his grief must have been, but he mourns and he weeps and he bears the sorrow in his heart in the privacy of his home. That's the lashon of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch. Says he withdrew, he secluded himself into his house, he mourned his deep grief in the privacy of his heart and in the privacy of his home. So first of all, it's very beautiful. And also I was thinking what a fitting tribute to a woman who epitomized the trait of Tzanuahi. Right? When the three angels come and they say to Avram, I sorry, Shtecha, where is Sarah your wife? And what does he say? She's in the tent, and Rashi says there, Tzanuahi. Sarah operated her whole life as if she was in the tent. Now, it doesn't mean that we as Jewish women, obviously, we do not spend our lives in the tent / in our home, but we have to behave in a certain way even when we go out. This was Sarah's beautiful trait. So I was thinking what a fitting tribute to a woman who exemplified the trait of Tzanuahi, that her husband mourned for her in the privacy of his, we could write, her home. He didn't take it outward. This was her final hurrah, if you will. And he did it quietly, in a way that was befitting a woman who was tsanua, so was her send-off. Okay? You want to say something? Like what's your name? What's
her Esther.
Name? Esther? Hi,
I
Esther.
Like that.
All right. So why the small chaf? You see in the pasuk, it's small. So my son was reviewing these pesukim last night, one of my 8-year-olds, so he told me he remembers he learned last year, he's in third grade. He learned in wait, is it small in your chamasha?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They
don't want you to see it, Marla. All right, so my son told me he learned in second grade with his rabbi because a tzaddik only cries a little bit. That's what he said. Which is interesting also if we think about it, because a tzaddik who is able to, I don't want to say better, but who is more in tandem, perhaps, less questioning of the Ratzon of Hashem, right? Perhaps it's easier for them to accept a loss because of their elevated level. My son said he learned last year because he was a tzaddik. All right, the Baal Turim says, this is very interesting. He only cried a little bit since she was old. Old. Now, we're going to talk about this. He only cried a little bit since she was old. That's the Baal term. So this is what I wrote on this pshat. It should be a source of great nechama to one who is fortunate enough to lose a family member who has reached an old age. When a person, the Torah here is giving us a healthy perspective on mourning. On death and mourning? On death and mourning. Lo aleinu. The Torah is giving us a healthy perspective. The Torah encompasses all aspects of our life. It makes sure to cover everything. What is the Torah teaching you here? When a person has been blessed enough, fortunate enough to live their entire life, and has accomplished much, you've been blessed with arichos yamim, length of days, and arichos shamim, length of years. When a person's sun sets in the right time, the mourning is very different. This is the lashon of the Baal term. He only cried ela me'at, but a little bit. Lefisha zekena haisa. That's the lashon of the Baal term. He only cried a little bit because she was old. And I went back when I was reviewing my notes last night. I prepared this on Sunday, and I wrote that it is especially relevant after the tragic day in Eretz Yisrael with the murder of a 20-year-old. I wrote Amok Shiloni, he was a twin, and 25-year-old Dalia Lempos, may God avenge their blood. When I just want to say one thing. MC notes, MC is myself. This is not Chalila. I underline not. Okay? I don't want anyone to have a misconception here. This is not to minimize any loss of life. That's not what we mean. That's not what the Baal Torah means. That's not what the Torah means. Pikuach nochvesh docha hakol. You know, there's no age limit on that. Like, oh, when a person is 90, then we don't do that anymore. No, pikuach nochvesh docha hakol. We're not meaning to minimize any loss of life. But the Torah is teaching us a healthy perspective into death and mourning, Lolita. We have to keep that in mind. When Robertson,
You know, when you lose a parent, you sit. There's a shloshim for it. But when you lose, let's say, a child, you're not in avo for a whole year. So it's just to show you that, like, because the loss of a parent, it's the norm. A child is supposed to bury a parent, not the opposite.
Can I have water, please?
So what are you saying?
It's not the opposite. A parent is not supposed to bury a child.
Correct.
So you're mourning all year.
You don't need the year.
Oh, you don't need the year. Okay, I didn't understand.
Not the children, sorry. Nothing is for
This made a, ladies, this made a big impression on me, and it was, the incident occurred about 5 years ago, but I still remember it. My husband grew up in, you know, a small shtiebel, they daven that across the road from their home. I was Rabbi Rebbetzin Lichtenstein, and Rav Lichtenstein passed away, and he was an elderly Rav, and he had children and grandchildren, he may have even had great-grandchildren, but then he had a kehila. Around the same time, a short while later, my in-law's very, very close friend, who was 50, passed away very suddenly. Like, literally, like, he was playing basketball, which he played Wednesday night, every Wednesday night for years and years and years, and he fell and hit his head, and he passed away very suddenly with a young family. So it made a big impression on me that Rebbetzin Lichtenstein went to be Menachem Aval, the widow, the Amana, and Rebbetzin Lichtenstein said, it's a very wise, and this is what we're trying to illustrate here, she said to the Amana, I suffered a loss, but you suffered a tragedy. In other words, you can't compare. The truth is there is differences in mourning. Mm-hmm. And I wrote here, when one reaches 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, and has lived a life of Arichos Yamim and Shanim, as did Sar Imenu, the Baal Turim says he only cried Ela Me'at Lefisha Zekein Haisa. So you look at the accomplishments over the person's life, and she was the mother of the Uma Yisraelis, and her son was Yitzchak, and it all began with her. And knowing that the person ascended to their place in the Olam Ha'emes at that time is different than for example, Rav Lichtenstein, just because I used him as an example. And again, please, I'm not minimizing any loss of life. God forbid. That's not what I mean. But we're learning. We're learning. Mm-hmm. So as I was preparing the shiur, you know I talk about the situation in Eretz Yisrael a lot. I think it's very important for us to know and to try as much as possible. Iman Anochi Basar, you guys want to say something? Hear. You don't have to be sorry. You could tell us.
No,
no.
No. She was saying that it's also keep it of aim. You know, keep it covered up. Like if you lost a parent, that's why you know.
You sit for a year for a parent, but you only do shloshim for everybody else.
Oh, because of keep it of aim. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so it's like a mitzvah that even extends after the parent is no longer in this finite world.
We also say, like, it's expected that when you're old, your time is going to come.
Right.
We never say, you know, every day I'll tazveni now, you know, it's just not expected for young people to go.
Okay, so when I was preparing the shiur on Sunday, my mother emailed me the link to two death notices on the MFA website. MFA website is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Does anyone know the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs? It's www.mfa.gov.il. I'm just quoting one of them here as an instance I wrote where one would cry a lot, opposed to Avraham Avinu, who cried a little. I'm just bringing it. I know I focus a lot on the situation in Eretz Yisrael. I can't help it. I feel that we have an achrayas, achinu kol beis Yisrael, to not only know the situation, but to try and remember their names. If we don't focus on who they were as people, then it just becomes a number. And they lived, and we should know who they were, and they had contributions, and they're dying al Kiddush Hashem, and they are our korbanos, and we have to know who they were. So this is a picture of Akiva Pashkos. I mean, we don't even remember them. Akiva Pashkos, Hashem Yikom Damo. I'm going to tell you, January 25th, 2001. Akiva Pashkos, 45 years old, was from Bayit Vegan in Jerusalem. He was shot dead in a terror attack near the Atarot industrial zone north of the capital. One of the neighbors said, quote, he was a good-hearted man. The children awaited his arrival in Shul on Shabbat every morning, every Shabbos. He was a shamish. He would hand out the candy. He was also the candy man. He was survived by his wife, Hila, and their five children. His oldest daughter is married. The youngest child was going to be having a bar mitzvah in a few months. Keep in mind, this was January 2001. He was laid to rest in Jerusalem's Har HaMenuchot Cemetery. And I just want to make God avenge his blood. So, clearly, I'm just pointing that out. The Torah is giving us a healthy perspective here on death and mourning. Anything else on that?
I want to ask a question. The custom of sitting shiva, does any of that come from this, where Avraham stayed in his house to mourn? Stay in our house. People come to visit us, but we don't take our mourning outside in public.
Very nice. I don't know, but that's very nice. Rav Shamshon Falher says he secluded himself inside his house to mourn and weep for her in the privacy of his home. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. I don't know where the lacha is from, but it's very nice hashkafically. Very nice. Okay, another reason for the smachaf. Let's move on from that. So we've had two so far. My son Yitzchak Yonatan told me he learned tzaddikim cry less, and we have said we can understand because a tzaddik is more easily able to perhaps accept the gzeira of Hashem, and therefore perhaps it's easier to move on. The second one we just said is because he only cried a lot, and we discussed that. Another reason for the smachaf. The Baal Turim also says this is fascinating. Ready? I'm going to read it to you in his Lashon. Shahaisa kimo goremes misasa. It was as if she caused her own death. Does anyone know this yet? Shemasra din. She invoked heavenly judgment when she said to Avraham Avinu, please turn, keep your hand here, turn to 16:5. Excuse me. Tes Zion Hey. No, Tes Zion Aleph. Honey, or Debbie, anybody, could you pass me that silver chumash that's there, please? The small silver chumash. Thank you. 16:5, Tazayin. Tazayin Aleph. This is with Hagar. When she sees she's not having children, sorry, Imenu, so she says to Avraham Avinu to take Hagar. Turn, please, to Tazayin Aleph. 16:1, okay? Visarai Eishas Avram Lo Yaldalo. Sarah, the wife of Avram, was not having children, and she had a Shifcha Mitzris whose name was Hagar. We know this. When they left Egypt, Paro sent his daughter, the Egyptian princess, really, to live with Sarah and Avram. And Sarah said to Avram, Hashem has held me back from giving birth. Even look at her Lashon. We're just talking about a tzaddik being able to accept the decrees here. She doesn't say, I can't have children. She says, God has held me back from having children. So it shows us her whole outlook. She even uses the name of Hashem. I'm just noticing this now, which is the Midas HaRachamim. She's saying Hashem, in his compassion, has held me back from giving birth. She's directly attributing her situation to the Almighty. So come to my maidservant, maybe I will build from her. And Avram listened to the voice of Sarah, Rashi says, to the Ruach HaKodesh that was in here. And Sarah takes Hagar the Mitzris, her Shifcha, at the end of 10 years that they were living together in Eretz Canaan, and he gives her to Avram for a wife. He comes to Hagar, they have relations, Pasuk David, and she becomes pregnant. What happens? Vatere ki harsa. She sees she becomes pregnant. Vateke gavirta be'ene. Sarah becomes like demeaning in her eyes, right? Like, look at me. You've been married for so long, and I came to Avram Avinu, and here I am, and I'm pregnant right away. Vatomer Sarai el Avram. Sarai says to Avram, Chamasi alacha, my anger, my feelings, my passion is against you. Anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha. I gave my shivcha on your lap, and she sees that she became pregnant, and I become cheapened or lessened in her eyes. Yishpot Hashem beinu beinecha. This is the pasuk the Baal Terem quotes. God will judge between me and you. And then Avram says to Sarah, she's in your hands, do whatever you want with her, and Hagar runs away. Yishpot Hashem beinu beinecha, God will judge between me and between you. So the Baal Terem quotes that phrase, and he says, Sarah shahaisa kimo goremas misasa, as if she caused her own death, shemasra din, she invoked heavenly judgment against Avram Avinu when she says, may God judge between me and between you, and therefore she was punished first. Ne'en shahi techil, I'm giving you the lashon of the Baal Terem because I want you to hear what he himself is saying. Shahaisa kimo goremas misasa, shemasra din, and therefore na'an shahi t'chila, she invoked heavenly judgment, God will judge between me and between you, and therefore she was punished first. And then the Baal Terem continues and he says, the hama'abed atzmo l'da'as, one who consciously causes his own death, ein maspidim oso, you don't give him a hesped. It's an unbelievable Baal Terem. It's a Baal Terem on Bereishis 22:2. You could look it up. But I'm telling you the Lashon. Shahaisa kimo goremes misasa. It's as if she caused her own death. Shemasra din. She invoked heavenly judgment when she said, Yishpot Hashem beinu beinecha. And therefore, ne'en shahi t'chila. She was punished first. She died before Avram Avinu. And furthermore, b'ha ma'abed atzmo l'da'as. One who consciously, Art School translates it as, causes his own death. B'ha ma'abed atzmo l'da'as. Using his das. Ein maspi. And therefore, it's a small chaf, says the Baal Terem, to teach us that. Very powerful lessons here. So what we're going to take from this, unless you want to suggest something else, it's a very, I'm bringing it to your attention, it's a very weighty Baal Terem, if you will, but the lesson I think we should take from here is the lesson in Shmir Salashon. Shmiras Lashon doesn't mean Lashon Hara. Shmiras Lashon means guarding your tongue, watching your speech. We must exercise, and I highlighted it in my own notes, extreme caution with our speech at all times, for words have tremendous power. The problem, of course, is what's always the problem, is that we think we're going to say the exact right thing, and then out comes of your mouth the exact wrong thing, or what you plan to say is not what you actually said. But it's really just a very, very lesson for us in... person has to be careful with everything that comes out. It's hard. It's very hard. Does anyone else want to comment further? Yes.
Is there a reason that it's a kaf and not the bet? I mean, specific letter?
Why that letter?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Okay. I don't know.
It's the middle letter of the
It's an interesting question. I don't know. Someone once told me, someone once spoke at the Shabbos here, and I unfortunately was not there, and I tried to get in touch with him, and it just didn't work out, that every time there's a small letter in the Torah, there's a corresponding big letter, the exact same letter in a different place. Okay, Mr. Behar told me, Mr. Nelson Behar, someone spoke at the Shabbos here and spoke about this. Okay, I don't know why it's specifically that letter.
I heard it's a little bit spiritual, but perhaps one of the reasons why Abraham didn't cry so much was I heard this whole thing about how Yitzchak and Sarah sort of had joining neshamas because they were, you know, both Gilgalim for Chava, whatever. But when Abraham was doing the Akedah, and it says that instead of Yitzchak, that he used the ram, like tachas, basically a part of Yitzchak's neshama went into the ram, and then he shechted the ram, and then basically he knew that when the ram was slaughtered, that Sarah would pass away, because they had like adjoining neshamas. So
okay.
He sort of knew that.
Oh, so you mean that's why her death is connected to the Akedah?
Yeah.
Which is what Rashi says when she heard he was almost slaughtered but wasn't slaughtered, that's when her neshama left her. So
yeah.
Saying, okay.
It was actually because of the slaughtering, Avram knew that Sarah would pass away because he was shechting the ram.
Okay.
Interesting. I know. It's very esoteric.
Okay, okay, you bring up a nice point, Raquel. So I think maybe what you're saying, Gilgulim, okay. You're just speaking about the connection between a parent and a child, between a mother and a child.
Yeah, that Sarah and Yitzchak had, you know, a little bit of like a connected neshama.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's go on. So wait, so why did he only mourn a little bit? What does that have to do with him mourning a little bit?
Because he knew when he was shechting the ram that a part of Yitzchak's neshama was went into the ram.
Okay.
Which would cause when the ram, you know, died, that Sarah would also, because that was a part
of. So you mean he already knew it wasn't news to him?
He knew, like, he came back from the Akedah.
He wasn't so shocked.
Right away he was, you know, in mourning.
Okay, okay. Let's go on. Okay, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, you know, Avraham Avinu is 10 tests, right? So that's what the Pirkei Avos chapter 5 says. Asara nisyonus nisnasa Avraham Avinu v'ama b'klum. He had 10 tests. So the Bartanura says, what are his 10 tests? So there's different opinions as to what the 10 tests are. Okay. Generally, in our class, we start with Nimrod's fiery furnace and we end with the Akedas Yitzchak. Right? We have what are they? The Nimrod's fiery furnace, Lach Lecha, Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz. Sarah was taken to the house of Paro. No, Bris Milah didn't come yet. We have the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings. We have Bris Bein Habsarim. His children, you know, your children are going to be slaves in a land that's not their own. That is not good news. We have Bris Milah. We have chasing away Yishmael. Sarah is taken by Avimelech, chasing away Yishmael and Akedas Yitzchak. Okay? That's what the Baruch Tanur says. But Rabbeinu Yonah counts different 10 tests. And he says that the 9th test was the Akedah. This is very interesting. And the 10th test was the death and burial of Sarah Imenu. Okay? Which is also perhaps the loss of his partner here at this point in his life, is Ezer Kenegdo, the one who converted the woman while he converted the man. And then the difficulties, not just the death, but the difficulty in obtaining a burial plot. Obtaining a burial plot, he had to be busy with that while his meso mutalafanav, while she is still, you know, he's trying to mourn for her in the privacy of his home, and at the same time he has to negotiate with the Bnei Ches, and do you have somewhere for me to bury her in a land that's supposed to be his? You know, we can see the you sign here. God said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your children. It's yours. Walk the land, blah, blah. And then here he can't even find someone to bury his wife. Right?
Also was a test because he caused her death. It wasn't just that she died naturally of old age, but that's why it was such a test. He knew by doing it, that he was going to cause.
He had a hand in it, so to speak. Okay, very nice. Which is why the 9th would be the K. Then following this, the 10th would be the death and the burial of Sarah. Very nice. Which sort of ties into what Raquel was saying. Very nice. Okay. Yes. Did we say good?
Who says that the 10th test was Mar Machpelah?
Yeah, the death and finding a burial spot for Sarah.
Is that Bartanura?
Rabbeinu Yonah. Sorry, on his commentary in Pirkei Avos. It's on the commentary in Pirkei Avos because it's in Pirkei Avos chapter 5 where the sages say he had 10 tests. So that's where everybody starts to say, "Oh, well, where are these 10 tests?" Whether the test ended with the Akedah or whether the test ended with the death of Sarah Imenu, which is very nice what you ladies suggested, that perhaps part of the reason this was such a strong test is because he, even though he didn't have a choice, had a hand in it in some way. Very nice. One second, please. I just want to write that down. Please. Okay. His hallmark trait is that he never questioned the ways of God, which ties into the first shot we gave him. My son Yitzchak said about he only cried a little because he was a tzaddik. Reb Soloveitchik teaches, and I know I've quoted it before, but had Avraham Avinu asked a simple question of God, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umma Yisraelis. That's a quote. Had he questioned Hashem, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umma Yisraelis. He goes even further and he says, faith means, this is a quote, not only to believe but not to ask questions. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask questions. Whether I wrote here was faced with the flames of Nimrod's furnace. The journey into the unknown, which was Lech Lecha. We said the famine in the land. Sarah was taken by power. Sarah was taken by Abimelech. Very, very hard. Very, very hard chapters to understand her being taken, the command to perform bris milah, the bris mein habsarim. Nobody wants to hear their children are going to be slaves for 400 years. The slaughter of Yitzchak, the Amma slaughter of Yitzchak, the death of Sarah, his faith never wavered. That's what made him Avram Avinu. And a normal person, I wrote here, from time to time, we can't help it. A normal person, oh, if you don't, okay, but a normal person wonders sometimes, why me? Sometimes, somewhere in the recesses of your personality, in the throes of a very difficult situation, you do look heavenward and say, even if you don't say, you sometimes wonder yourself, why did this happen? Why me? And then I wrote, if you have some measure of righteousness hidden within the recesses of our very selves, the next thing we say is, okay, I'm not supposed to say that, so Hashem, what do you want from me? But before we get to Hashem, what do you want from me? We do. I mean, if you don't call kavod, most people, I'm making a generalization, it's human nature. The goddess of Avram and Sarah, they never went through the first stage of the why me, what's going on here, how could you do this? The Amunah of Hashem, as he was faced with one test after another, my friend once said to me, you know, Michal, don't pass your Nisayon too quickly, because you know what happens when you pass this one? The next one is coming. His faith never wavered. No matter what came, his faith never wavered. And that was really the goddess of Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu as well. And the Pasuk says, 23:1, the Pasuk says, we already saw, these are the years of her life, Shnei Chaye Sarah. What are we learning from the years of her life? Do you understand, ladies? Those three last words in Pasuk Av seem superfluous. They shouldn't be there. She lived 127 years, right? So what do I learn from these are the years of her life? Is everyone with me? Rashi often has a question, but he doesn't usually say his question. He just answers it. But he always has a question when he's commenting. So he's asking, why do I need those three words? Do you understand? Rashi really is a question. Okay. What do we learn from those three words? Kulan shavin l'tova. Kulan shavin l'tova. All of her years were equal for goodness. That's what Rashi says. So what does this mean? All of her years were equal for goodness. So if Yitzchak Zilberstein says, we can focus on many aspects of her years were equal for goodness. Let us choose, says Rav Zilberstein, we spoke about Avram Avinu Amuna already, the pure faith and trust in Hashem that inspired Sarah. He says, maybe we can imagine, it's not my words, we may imagine the suffering of the bad days, so to speak. That's what he says. As she lived to the age of 90 without bearing a child with Avram, that was a big test. They were told, you know, God alach lecha, there you will have children, and yet they got there and nothing ever happened. Ample time, I wrote, for her to question her circumstances, but we see with Sarah an unbelievable trait. She didn't say why. She said to herself, what does God want from me? She understood she had to give Hagar to Avram Avinu, and that's what she did. She didn't ask why. She asked, what can I do? How can I move on?
But then she got upset. Esther. But then she got upset about that. You know,
they were, about the way she was treated after.
Yeah, and also, like, what are you doing, Avram? Now, was she regretting that she told him?
She couldn't pass the test.
Right? She
right. She couldn't pass the test.
Right.
She's willing to take a test, but she couldn't pass the test.
But she didn't love the consequence. She didn't love what came after it. You know, it was hard for her.
Okay, so I want to say something important. It's interesting that Esther is joining us for the first time. Welcome.
Thank you.
And that you happen to be bringing that up in terms of she got upset. Because my brother was here, my brother Rabbi Dov Friedman Farag. I wasn't going to tell us that. I was going to tell us when we get to Yosef and the brothers. And it's understanding the feelings of the Avos and the Imahos. So my brother just taught this to me Sunday night. He was listening to a shir of Rav Tursky from IU in the car on the way here to pick up. My nephews were here, it was Kavituka's boys. So he told me Rav Tursky was saying as follows. You might hear this again, okay? I was planning to teach this a little later, but you bring it up now. Rav Tursky was saying as follows. Let's say you're going to hear it again, okay? You're going to forgive me when I say it again?
Yes.
But you're bringing up a question of now, and I want to answer your question. And my brother just shared this with me on Sunday night. Let's say you ask two people a question. They both don't know the answer, okay? Let's say you ask a 7-year-old child a question on, he told me a masechta, a tractate in Talmud Yerushalmi that's very, very difficult. Let's say you have a question on, I forget which tractate he told me. I was going to teach it later and I would have all the details for you, but fine. A certain tractate in masechas in Talmud Yerushalmi, I don't remember the masechta, you don't know the answer. You ask a 7-year-old child, what does the Gemara mean? And the 7-year-old child is going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. The 7-year-old child might say, I don't know. Then you ask a Gaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what does it mean? And Rav Chaim waits a couple minutes, and then he says, right now, I don't know. So if Twersky said they're saying the exact same thing, I don't know. The 7-year-old is saying, I don't know, because he really doesn't know. Reb Chaim is saying, I don't know, after he goes through every parsha in the Torah, and every Mamar Chazal, and every other place in the Gemara, and every Tosfos and Rashi, he goes through the entire culture of Kula. Think of Zatzar of Vadi Yosef. If he says right now, I don't know, it means, I don't know, I've searched the entire Torah, and I don't know. A 7-year-old child, they're saying the same thing. But it's night and day. It doesn't mean the same thing. With Twersky, it was a sheer embarrassment. And sad when we come to the emotions and the feelings of the avos and the imahos, we're trying to apply, and I agree with you, but this he gave me that on Sunday, and it really helped me. We're trying to apply, we're like the 7-year-old child. We're trying to apply our I got upset yesterday to her I got upset. She's like Lahavdil. She's like a million times more than Reb Chaim, but we're using it as an example. I make a 7-year-old child who knows nothing. So if Twersky said, we try and project our feelings and emotions and our avos and imahos and the shift they caught. It was a shir on Vayishnu also. The brothers hated him. Vayikanubo, and they were jealous of him. So Twersky was saying, I'm jealous. It's not what they mean by jealous, right? I thought it was a tremendous pshat, and I'll tell you what it specifically helped me with personally. I don't understand, and again, so I'm like the 7-year-old child who knows nothing, what Avram Avinu was doing when he allowed Sarah to be taken by the kings. When he said, you're my sister, especially the second time, he knew it was going to happen because it happened by Pirate. Why did he do it again? So my brother's answer really helped me. Like, okay, so I don't understand. So I'm like the 7-year-old, okay? And that's not to say there's never an answer, but when we approach the avos and the Mahos, they weren't perfect, right? The Ramban says when Avram went down to Mitzrayim, he says it was a chata chet gedola me'od. That's a paraphrase, but you could look at. It was a great sin. The Ramban says it, but it's okay for the Ramban to say it. So I thought it was a tremendous insight. So it's true she became upset. Keeping in mind, her emotions were not like our emotions. She's sorry, Menu, and also I don't want to say that she didn't pass her test. You understand?
No, I don't feel like she didn't pass
her test. Thought, Raquel.
I just feel like we say, you know, be careful what you wish for. And that kind of thing. So
we can learn that for ourselves.
Right. And if she was on that level where she kind of knew what was... I mean, she suggested it was her idea. And then she regretted her suggestion.
Well, okay. I once heard that she was a little upset at Avraham. Why did she offer? She thought that Avraham was going to say to her, it's okay.
Really?
You know, yes, that she had in mind that Avraham would not take
pledge
her
his loyalty
on the offer.
Which is perhaps why she says, Yishpo Hashem beinu beinecha. Okay, very nice. What did you want to say, Raquel?
I think we're really sort of bringing Sara down to our level, but we have to remember she really wasn't.
So that's what I was trying to say.
Sara never did Avera. If it wasn't for Chava, she wouldn't have died. You know, she never did Avera in her whole life. She's one of those people. So I mean, to make it like, oh, I'm jealous. I think
that's exactly what I was trying to say. Did I say it clearly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was trying to say.
The other police have said that she did it on purpose in order that she would get embarrassed to be over the din and Shemaim, like against her, and you know, I think there was more reason behind it.
Yes.
I agree that we should, you know, hold back any kind of judgment on them. But I think we are supposed to try and relate to them.
And learn from them, for sure. For sure. That's why I told you that the Ramban says...
But I think the whole Torah, all the people in it...
One second.
Are, we should try and...
Like a jealous woman. Like, I don't know.
Okay, you want to hear something fascinating? Could I please have ladies... Can I please borrow your chumash for a minute, Leia? No, I specifically need Leia's because it has the Ramban. But having said that, we need to learn that, which is, by the way, that's the focus of our entire class, right? Making the Torah real. What does it mean for me? What do I learn from the biblical personalities? But at the same time, we have to understand, for example, that when it says they were jealous of him, we are speaking about the Shiftei Kah, who were, Rashi says, all perfect. So it can't mean jealousy the way I'm jealous. But we are. I agree with both. Everything is correct. But to bolster your side, Tes Zayin Vav, I'm going to tell you fascinating Ramban. which obviously is not in my notes because I wasn't preparing to teach it, but by the way, I don't even remember where I wrapped to here, what we were talking about. It doesn't matter. It's about Sara Chai. Okay, listen what the Ramban says. Okay. We look, turn back to Tes Zayin since it came up. The last pasuk we looked at in Perek Tes Zayin was, and Sarah said to Avram that she's now upset, or you want to use the word regret, or whatever. She is demeaning, she has been demeaned now in the eyes of Hagar, right? And God will judge between me and between you. We already saw that pasuk, the Baal Turim quotes that phrase to say this is when she invoked heavenly judgment. Pasuk Vav. And Avram said to Sarah, here is your maidservant in your hands, do with her what is good in your eyes. And she oppressed her, so to speak, and she ran away from before her. Clear? Mm-hmm. By the way, Hagar runs away twice. Sometimes we forget that. The first time was without Yishmael, when the Malach finds her by the Ein Amayim, the Malach says, go back. And the second time was when she's kicked out, and that's with Yishmael. So I want to tell you what the Ramban says on this pasuk, and this will sort of speak to what Michelle and Esther are bringing up. Ready? This is the Lashon of the Ramban. Chata imenu bi'inui hazeh. Chata imenu. Wow. Our foremother?
Sinned.
V'gam Avram b'hanicho la'asos kein. And so did Avram when he allowed her to do this. And as a result of this, Hashem gave Hagar a son who will be a para Adam, to afflict the children of, that's right, that's where I learned it on Sunday morning from, Sharon hosted a shir on Sunday morning that I went to, Rabbi Etchel, and he mentioned the Ramban. I went over after and I asked him the source because I wanted to see it inside for myself. And as a result of this affliction of Hagar, and that Avram was implicit, we can use the Lashon Shtika Kohoda, Hashem listened to Hagar and gave her a son who will be a wild man who will afflict the children of Avram and Sarah with all kinds of afflictions. First of all, how relevant to the situation now. Okay, we're talking about Yishmael. This isn't Esav. Right. There's different... I'm going to pass this around. It's a very... If I knew I was teaching it, I would have made the photocopies. Okay? It's the Ramban, Ambarashus, Tes Zayin, Pasuk Vav. You could just pass around. It's very, very short if you want to actually see the Lashon for yourself inside. That's the Ramban. So certainly what you're saying is true. We are supposed to learn from them. That's why I brought you the Baal term in the first place. And we got the lesson of Shmir Salashon. You have to be careful with what you say. At the same time, you have to be a little bit more cautious. We're not talking about people on our level. Okay? We're like the 7-year-old. They are Lahavdil. They're not even like Reb Chaim Kanievsky because they're not like Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They were like worlds away from him. Okay? Clear? What was I saying? Okay, I think I know where I am. We're talking about all the years of her life were equal for goodness. Remember we said what's Rashi's question? Okay. I'm going back to what Rav Zilberstein says. Despite the fact that Sarah did not bear children until an advanced age, nevertheless, all her years, all her days were equal for goodness. She lived joyously her whole life. In her staunch, we're talking about Amuna. We started with Avraham Avinu, we're moving to Sarah. She achieved a state of joy in Hashem's decree, both for good and for ill. And therefore, in her eyes, even what we would consider the hard times were equally good. A person who can declare all his days are equal. This is what I wrote. A person who can declare all his days are equal for goodness is a giant of unwavering faith.
I think when you said that, what struck out of my mind is that...
When I said with what?
When you said that this whole concept that she was equal in her days, that really she should have been a growing person. I mean, she came from nothing... But she lived such a long life.
So then maybe that's why. So I was thinking, why does the Torah... You want to continue? You want to say something?
No, I just think it's interesting. Like, usually as you get older, you grow in the way...
Okay, so the answer to that could be, and that's why I think I was thinking about it. I just added something in. Okay. Because, Sharon, perhaps... The Torah doesn't say she was 127 years old. It makes a point of saying she was 100, she was 20, she was 7. Shnei Chayei Sarah, they were all equal for goodness. Perhaps the Torah is teaching us she wasn't the same person in Ruchnius that she was at 7, that she was in 100. But nevertheless, whatever stage she was at in spiritual maturity, she still was able to view everything Hashem gave her as equal for goodness. Whether she was 7 or 20, as she journeyed through life, it represents a journey, you know, a child, then you can be middle-aged / adolescent, and then you could be a senior citizen, but at every point in her life, as she journeyed, Shnei Chayisar, they were all equal for goodness. In other words, her perception of Yitzchak Zilberstein is explaining why is that Hashem only did good for her.
Phone.
My phone again?
Yes. Check it.
Okay. So I wrote a person who... Do you understand, Sharon? I've seen why it says 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. I think it's very nice. It could have just said 127. Right. Miriam Peretz, I told you about her a few weeks ago. Miriam Peretz, who lost two sons, Uriel and then Eliraz, one in the first in Lebanon and the second in the Gaza Strip. She said every day she wakes up, it's a miracle. Every day she said, I give thanks to God. She said, for I love him very much. And that is, I wrote, a giant of unwavering faith. Someone who can pass from 7 and then from 20 and then through 100 and go through so many different stages in life and still say, Shnei Chaye Sarah, that is a giant of unwavering faith. And we see a proof of this from Tehillim. And we say it in, you know what I want to say? You're nodding,
no,
yes.
No, listen, I'm nodding that I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and in Tehillim, David Melch says, Capital 116, we say it in Halal, 12:12-13. How can I repay Hashem? He did so much good for me. How could I repay God? All the brothers. I have clothing. I have a home. I can see. Forget the my body works. How could I repay God for everything that I have? And then David Melch says, "Kos Yeshua's Esa, I will lift the cup of salvation with Hashem Hashem Ekra. I will call out to the name of Hashem. I will lift the cup of salvation. God, everything is good, right? We just saw that. That's what Pasuk 12 says. Capital 116, chapter 12. How can I repay God for all the goodness, the bountiful dealings, everything He has given me? Your body works. I will lift the cup of salvation. I will call out in the name of Hashem. Clear?
Yeah.
Cause Yeshua says that's the cup of salvation. Cup of salvation is the good cup. Everybody wants the cup of salvation. It's easy, I wrote. It is easy to call upon Hashem when you're lifting a cup of salvation. With the Kos Yeshua's Esa, then it's not so hard. V'shem Hashem Ekra. Me and God were good friends. I just won the lottery. Mm-hmm. It's great. True godless, I wrote here, is to call upon the name of Hashem, as did Avram and Sarah, as did Miriam Peretz, when we're tested. And we see that in the same capital of Tehillim. What does David HaMelech say? Afafuni chavle maves, the cords of death reached me. Umitzare Sha'al mitzauni, the straits of Sha'al. Sha'al is Gehenim, the netherworld. The straits of Gehenim found me. Tzara v'yagon emtza, I found sorrows, tzara v'yagon, sorrows and pain. And what's the next thing he says? Tzara v'yagon emtza, uv'shem Hashem ekra. David HaMelech teaches us, David HaMelech, it's true when you lift your kos Yeshua's Esa, v'shem Hashem Ekra. It's good. It's important. You should always say thank you to God that you could breathe. But tzar v'yagon emtza, that's pasuk 3 in the same capital. When you lift the cup of when tzar v'yagon, when sorrows and disaster and pain befalls you, and you could still, the next words are v'shem Hashem Ekra, you could still call on the name of Hashem. That's a life that's truly equal in goodness. And that was tzar imenu. A story is told about Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik of Brisk, the Griz. He was the son of Rav Chaim of Brisk, the brother of Rav Moshe, the uncle of the Rav Soloveitchik that I often quote. Mortar shells were falling on Jerusalem. He remained at home. It's so interesting. The shelling increased in intensity with many explosions around his house. The entire neighborhood was shaking. At that point, as the shelling became almost unbearable, he said he was going to the Beis Medrash. He needed to get a certain sefer. So the family became terrified. They say, until now you stayed home. Now the bombs are falling everywhere. Now is when you want to go out. So he said that's exactly why. As long as the shelling was scattered, logic said remaining at home offered me a chance of safety. I did make my effort. I had to do my ishtalus. I had to stay home. Now that the enemies increased the shelling to the point where it no longer makes a difference if I'm in the house or if I'm out of the house, I'm acquitted of obligation to make a personal effort. Now, quote, I rely on a Kodesh Baruch when I play my fate in his hands. And this I wrote here is so many times we are faced with these situations when the shelling is all around us, when there is confusion and there is pain and there is fear. Once at a certain point when you have done all that you could, and then you can just, you're allowed, you're absolved, so to speak, of personal responsibility because you say, God, I did my part. Now I place my trust in his hands because my fate is up to you. And I really wrote that here, Sharon, before you said that. I wrote, this was the godless, the midos, and the leadership of Sarah and Avram. And perhaps that's why, if you could read my messy handwriting, I wrote 100 years, then 20 years, then 7 years. You see, I wrote here, at each stage, oh, this is what I wrote. It's a little bit of an enhancement of what we said before. Why 100 years, 20 years, at 7 years? Because the nisyonos, never mind spiritual growth, that's one thing. Or the Torah you learn, or the mitzvot you do, it's not the same at 7 than at 20. It's not the same at 20 as when you're 80. At each stage, a 7-year-old faces nisyonos. There are nisyonos for a 7-year-old, right? They're, you know, my brother got 4 laffy taffies and I got 1. That's a very significant thing for a 7-year-old child. And then at 20, I'm obviously using this as an illustration, okay? And then at 20, there are nisyonos for a 20-year-old. And then as a person advances, there are others. As a person moves through life, there are always differences. They're not the same. The situations that you face in the beginning are not the same that you face as you move through life. However, no matter what she faced at any point in her life, whether she was 7, which means a youth, or 20, which means middle age, or 100 senior citizen, she was able to place her trust and knew her fate was in Hashem's hand. Okay. Okay? Now, let's move on to 24. That's on the first two psukim. Well, not really, because we spoke more about Sarah and Hagar. 24:1. Okay, he negotiates the burial plot. You want to hear one nice, very nice insight?
Sure.
You know, Ephron is like not a good guy. We know that he's like not a good guy. First he says you can have whatever you want. Then he says, what's 100, 400 shekels between me and you? Look at Pasuk Chav Gimel Yadalad. First they say you could bury her whatever he wants. Avram understood. Ephron has bigger intentions than that. They don't really mean it. Nobody was willing to commit. Look at Pasuk Yadalad. It's for sure true. Michelle, I did not mean at all that we're not supposed to learn from them. Our entire learning is supposed to be learning from them to apply to our lives. But at the same time, we do have to be careful when, like, for example, so I can understand, I'm the 7-year-old, how Avram could give up his wife. The failing is on my part. Okay? If anybody, by the way, has any insights into what Avram... You know, when he said 2 times, you're my sister, knowing Rashi says the second time he did it without her permission. You could look up last week's parsha, because he knew she wouldn't agree because of what happened the first time. So if you have any insights into that, I would love to hear. All right. So, Vayan Ephron es Avram Lamer. So we're in the negotiations for this burial plot. Remember, and all the reasons we said this was his 10th Nisar, and he had a hand in contributing to her death, which Sharon suggested. Her Nisham was tied to Yitzchak's Nishama, so not only did he almost lose Yitzchak, he lost Sarah at the same time. Not only while Meso Mutal in front of him, he's also trying to undergo a business transaction here in the throes of his emotional pain. But then Ephron says, Adoni, my master, Shema Erini, listen! Eretz, the land, right? Arba meo shekel kesef, it's worth 400 silver shekel. Beinei uveinech mahi. What is it between friends? As meitcha kvar, bury your dead. So my father had a beautiful insight. He shared it with me last year on this pasuk. And he said, what was so bad about Ephron? Many things, but one of them is that he assumed things about Avram Avinu. You must have 400 shekel kesef to pay me. We should never assume anything about anybody else. It's a tremendous Musar Haskel. He assumed you're Nasi Elohim, they call him. You're the Prince of Elohim. He was a famous guy. You came to Canaan. You established yourself. You must have 400 silver shekel. Mahi, what is it between me and between you, between friends? You never think that we know anything, even what we think we know about other people, we don't know about other people. Okay, 24:1. Oh my gosh. Avram Zakim Bo Bayamim, Avram was old, coming on in days. Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakal, Hashem blessed Avram with everything. So this, what did God bless Avram with, is open to a lot of interpretation. First of all, I just want to point out, whether we count the 10th test as the Akedah or the 10th test as the death and burial of Sarah, it's only after Avram passed all his tests, however you count them, that the Torah says Hashem blessed him, he was blessed with all. Perhaps the lesson we learn here is that after a person accomplished their life work, knowing you have lived your entire life as an Eved Hashem, then you perceive yourself to have been blessed. What does it mean? Hashem blessed him before. He told him when he was going to Lech Lecha, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, v'nivrechu b'cha, the kol mishpachos Adam, everyone will be blessed to you. But Avram Avinu, not in the Baal Gaiva way, the satisfaction of knowing the Ahmad Bakulam, he passed all his tests, should be a great source of satisfaction to a person in how they live their life. If you lived in Hazar Eben Hashem, you can now truly say, I am Beirach Bakal, I have been blessed with everything. So not only is this an objective comment onto the fact that Avram was blessed, but it's a subjective insight into a person's feelings, that they should take comfort in knowing they're blessed by living up to what Hashem wants of them. Okay. The word kol, I'm going to try, I really want to end with this beautiful insight. The word kol is used in regard to the other patriarchs as well. I could really teach this in a different parasha. Mm-hmm. What? Because, okay, we'll end with this. The word kol is used in regard to the other patriarchs. Yaakov Avinu says when he's speaking to Esav when they finally meet after 20 years, Esav says, Yesh li rov, I have a law. Yaakov says, you have a law. Yesh li kol, I have everything. They've given me everything I need. And Yitzchak says when he's blessing his children, the two sons, and there's the trickery when Esav comes back from the field, Yitzchak says, I ate va'ochal mikol, I ate from all. The sources are Bereishis 33:11 and Bereishis 27:33. The phrase kol, all, is used. Hashem beirach es Avram bakol. Yesh li kol, says Yaakov. Va'ochal mikol, says Yitzchak, I ate from all. And we say it in a benching. Commotion is Baruch of a saying to Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Bakol, that's Avram, Mikol, that's Yitzchak, Kol, that's Yaakov. So Chazal teach us in Maseches Bava Basra. Chazal teach. There were three people who Hashem gave the test. There were three people. Chazal teach in Bava Basra 16 to 17. There were three people who Hashem gave a taste in this world of Me'ein Olam Haba. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. There were three people who God gave a taste of the next world while they were in this world. Says the Gemara, who were they? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. As the verses say, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. We just quickly recap the three verses. This phrase, Kol, indicates they enjoyed every possible blessing, even a taste of the world to come. Clear? Now, keep that in mind for a minute. I want to move on to Shabbos for a second. But the Gemara says, three people who Hashem gave a taste of Me'ein Olam Haba, a semblance, an experience, a taste of the next world while they were in this world. Who were they? The Avos, as the verse uses by each of them, Kol is used by all of them. Says the Gemara, they had a taste of the next world in this world. Clear? The Lashon of the Gemara is Me'ein Olam Haba. What else do we call Me'ein Olam Haba? Shabbos. Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha. So we had Friday night guests, and we had guests on Friday night. And one of them, I don't even know his last name, his name was David, he learns in Shari Yashav. I know his two friends. And they asked if they could bring this third guy. So he learns in Yeshiva Shari Yashav, and he told over the following beautiful insight, which he heard from Rav Akiva Tatz. We say Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. This means, I think he said the sages teach, on Shabbos you could experience 1/60th of the world to come. You could potentially experience 1 out of 60 parts of the next world in this world. That's what Me'ein Olam Haba means. So why 1/60th? What does that mean? So it's a fantastic explanation. If we keep Shabbos properly, Zachar v'Shamar, if you remember and guard, right? It's possible to guard Shabbos and not even remember what day it is. You could do no muktzah, no melacha surah, and not even know that it's Shabbos. If you keep the spirit of the day, the laws of the day, the Torah of the day, what Shabbos is supposed to mean, you can actually have a taste of Olam Haba in this world. You could taste 1/60th of the Olam HaEmes in this finite world. However, if we don't keep Shabbos the way we're supposed to keep it, if you don't experience Shabbos properly, then the 1/60th becomes batal b'shishim. What does batal b'shishim mean? If you cook a pot, no, we're not passing any halacha, okay? If you're cooking a giant pot of chicken soup and you drop one drop of milk in, it's possible, the Rav will say, again, don't go put milk in your soup and say, we said it's okay. It's possible, the Rav will say, it's batal b'shishim. It becomes nullified. It was such a small portion, it doesn't mean anything. It's so fantastic. What is Shabbos is me'ein Olam Haba, it means it's dependent on us. This is what David was explaining. If we tap into the koch of the next world, you can taste the 1/60th of Olam Haba. But if you choose not to tap into the koch of the next world, then it's batal b'shishim. It doesn't mean anything for you. It's null and void. It's lost. When a Jew lives up to what is expected of him, You can have the 1/60th, and when you don't, it becomes batal b'shishim, which brings us now, it's fantastic, when I was preparing this on Sunday, and he just told the Dvar Torah Friday night, which brings us to our Gemara and the patriarchs. What does it mean that Avos tasted Olam Haba in this world? What does it mean, Chazal say, there are three people who had Me'ein Olam Haba? Me'ein Olam Haba means 1/60th in this world. The forefathers of our nation, the fathers of the Ummah Yisraelis, they were all of the Hashem par excellence. Again, this brings us back to our point. When we say they sinned, we have to understand it doesn't mean what we do when we sin, okay? They tapped into the koach of this world in the next world by carrying out the Ratzon Hashem. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you live up to what God expects of you, when you pass your nisyonos, there's no batal b'shishim, because you live your whole life being an Eved Hashem and doing what's demanded of you. And when you live on such an elevated plane, you can truly experience Me'ein Olam Haba in this world. Why isn't relevant to all of us? Only Shabbos we have the koach, because all of us are involved in the mundane aspects of this world. We try as we may, but the others, again, we're on a different level. So to them, that Olam Haba was available always. And they didn't make a batal b'shishim by tapping into the koach of the next world in this world. Clear? Is it clear? Because it's really beautiful insight. Yes? No? It's not? You're not answering. Ladies on this side, yes? Okay, if it's not clear, you're not saying, please come to me after. As we prepare to usher in the Shabbos of Parshas Chayei Sarah, the parsha wherein the Torah goes to great lengths to detail the transaction between Avram and the Bnei Ches, to let us know the land is ours, may we be zochah to see the nations of the world lay down their swords as they finally declare, what do they tell Avram Avinu? Nasi Elokim Ata Bisochenu, you are, ladies, Nasi Elokim Ata Bisochenu, you are, it's 23:6. What do they declare to Avram? You are a prince of God amongst us. May we be zochah to see the fulfillment of this pasuk, the blessing that was given to Avram Avinu. May we, his children, be zochah to see it as we are able to live and settle without nisyonos in our land. Amen ve'amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.